Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Praise God. Isn't it a good day to be in church? Such a powerful, powerful day. So exciting to be here. Look at your neighbor, say, let's get some word. Come on, I need you more excited. Come on, pretend you like them prison women up in there. Say, let's get some word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all know how I come to Global and you just step in an anointing like no other. You obey the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I thank God. Kent, stand up. Stand up with him, Andrea. Right when Pastor mentioned your name, I feel the anointing. I saw that one day, you shall stand in heaven, and there will be so many that you've led to Christ. It was so amazing to see those that you have impacted that you don't even know about, villages you just walk through, and people were healed and delivered and set free from witchcraft and all the strongholds. Ken, I hear very strongly, the Father is pleased with you. Many times, as a missionary, you may not hear the applause of men, but I speak to you under the anointing of the living God that heaven is applauding for you. Heaven is applauding for you. Hey, my God. They are pleased with the sacrifice. They are pleased with the covering you've been for your wife. They are pleased for the many, many, many children that call you Papa. Because of the sacrifice. Stand tall. Stand tall. They are applauding in heaven for the sacrifice. Andrea, the Lord said, I'm getting ready to renew your youth at a level, and the attacks on your body are broken in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall walk in health. You shall walk in an anointing. You shall have hind feet that you've always asked God for, to do things that nobody knows but the Father. He said, you shall do it. You have paid the price. The anointing is upon you, and you shall do signs and wonders like no other spiritual mother in Africa. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Happy, blessed, powerful Mother's Day. The Bible is clear to give honor where honor is due. And I want this church to stand to their feet immediately and honor Pastor Tom Hauser, the shepherd of this house, and the mother of this house, Jenny Hauser, the beautiful shepherdess. I love you. I honor you. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Wow. When I was thinking about having the honor of standing in this pulpit, you may be seated in the presence of God, I heard the Lord say, Jenny, this is going to be a year for abundance to your family like you have never seen before in your life. There are going to be so many God surprises. And the Lord says, even your dearest prayers that you have prayed over every child, every grandchild, God said, I've heard you, and you have stepped into a harvest season like none other. So get ready, great woman of God.
Get ready, get ready, get ready.
I'm ready.
Woo! I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. We have gathered here today to worship and praise Jesus. As Pastor Tom says, and I love this saying, we're going to make Jesus famous only. I love that. Secondly, we come together to encourage each other in the house of God. We are in difficult, perilous times. And it's so important to obey the word of God, which says, even the more do not forget to gather weekly as the time is approaching of the coming of the Lord. That verse is so important because as the time gets closer and closer and closer, the enemy attacks stronger and stronger and stronger. And so I tell people, don't dare not have a covering. Make sure you have a covering like these two great people of God, the staff here at Global River. You cannot be without a covering. If you don't have a church and you're looking for a church, you're sitting in a great church today. And get under a covering. Also, we are here today to honor mothers. I honor my spiritual mother, Velma Balon, the woman that stepped in when I was a college student at UNC Chapel Hill and brought me under her wing. And I remember as she would sit up with me all night long and speak peace to my mind. And she would say, baby, one day God's going to use you. I could barely make it to the next moment because of the torment of all the abuse I suffered as a little girl. But she would say, baby, God's going to use you. Thousands of people are going to be impacted because of what God's going to use you today. And to think that God has used me behind bars with thousands of women that have come to know Jesus Christ is beyond my comprehension. Mamas, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever stop praying. I believe we are entering the greatest season of the prodigals coming back into the church like we have never seen before. Don't you give up and don't you back down. We serve a mighty, mighty, mighty God. According to theologians, motherhood is the oldest occupation in the world. And people don't think that it's a job. You've never been a mama. You're on call 24/7. All you fur babies mamas out here, that you're like, wow, it's a lot of work to take care of a puppy or a kitty cat. Let me tell you, when you step with a human, it's a whole nother level. Because they can talk. So motherhood is truly a tough job, but there's nothing more glorious than being a spiritual mother or a biological mother. 111 years ago, President Woodrow Wilson instituted the national holiday to honor mothers, May the 9th, 1914. And we all think about President Woodrow Wilson did this. But as we say, behind every great man is a great woman somewhere. And he was not the one that came up with that idea to have a National Day of Motherhood. It was Anna Jarvis. She was the founder of Mother's Day in the United States of America to honor her mother, Ann Reeves. In 1908, she celebrated the first official Mother's Day and did so in a church the way we are doing right now today in Global River. So then she campaigned President Woodrow Wilson and said, let's get mothers recognized nationally on a day in the United States of America. I believe that godly mothers are the nation's greatest treasures. I believe that they are the Lord's best helpers, and they are the most blessed of all women.
when they are indeed godly women and mothers that serve Jesus Christ. There's a cute saying about how children think how smart their mothers are. At age 4, a child feels their mother knows everything. The hero in his life or her life. By age 12, mom doesn't actually know everything. Age 14, mom doesn't really know much at all. Age 18, mom is so out of touch and she needs to get hip with the times. Age 25, well, mom does know a few things. Age 35, mom is so wise. Before I decide this decision, I think I better call mom. Age 45, I wonder what mom would tell me to do. Get the phone, I need to talk with mom. Age 65, I wish I could talk to my mom just one more time. There are quite a few gathered here today that you miss your precious mother. May God comfort you as Pastor Thomas prayed. May you realize those that have mothers that serve the Lord, that she may be looking down. Hebrews 12 talks about that balcony in heaven, and I believe the Lord gives people a time to look now and then. May she be looking down and applauding, saying to you, great man and great woman of God, keep the fighting, keep going strong. Mama is proud of you. Keep doing what I taught you to do. There's always statistics globally, however, that some women are not able to bear children. And as I was writing this sermon, the Holy Spirit would not let me forget you. May God anoint your womb and grant your desire to be a mother. May it be through your own flesh and blood, or may you have the honor of adopting the perfect baby, as I have seen many times with some dear, dear friends. Finally, some of you may not have had a good or healthy relationship with your mom. As Pastor said, maybe you didn't even get to meet her. My prayer is God will send you a spiritual mother, and that you will have that deep pain healed within you that only a spiritual mama can do in your life. And may she say to you, baby, God's going to use you amazingly. Stand to your feet. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have been welcomed. You have been worshiped. You are adored at Global River and those that have joined us online. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are in this place. Your angelic host is in this place and your people are gathered. Lord, I asked you to anoint me with your power. Let my vocal cords only say what you would have me to say. May I not say anything that doesn't bring you glory, God. And may I be faithful to bring the word of God that you have sent me with this morning. Thank you for blessing everyone under the sound of my voice. We love you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Pat Walls, is she in the house? Where is she? She is one of my mamas that I love so much. I love you, Mama Pat. Praise God. I believe it and receive it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mama Pat. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The title of the message today is God's Favor and Grace on Mothers. God's Favor and Grace on Mothers. Who needs favor and grace? We all do. We all do.
I shouldn't have let you sit down at the end of the prayer. Let's stand and honor the reading of God's word. I'm old school. I'll have you. That'll be the last time you up and down, okay? But I always desire to have you honor the reading of God's word. There's not anything more powerful you will ever hold, you ever say, you ever hear, like the word of God. Open your Bibles or your phones or whatever you have to 1 Samuel. I will be in chapter 1 beginning at verse 2. 1 Samuel, the first chapter beginning in verse 2. And when you have it, just say amen. Hallelujah. And he, this is speaking of Elkanah, had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, this is speaking of Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Go down to verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, and let me just step to the side here a minute. Only a man would say this. Can I get a witness here? Because these men think they are everything and the best ever been since sliced bread. If you got a Boaz, they close, but they can't fix every situation in your life. Back to the scripture here. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now, that, only a man would say that. Baby, you got me. You don't need nothing else. And she's like, I want a baby. I'm better than 10 sons, he was saying to her. Only a man would say that. It's because men want to fix things, which is a good thing. Amen. Men want to fix things, protect. They don't want us to hurt. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. You may be seated in the presence of God. Let's look at the context of this sacred scripture I just read to you. The book of 1 Samuel is about three great men. Samuel, the great prophet, who when he prophesied, hello, Mama Addie, another mama. When he prophesied, not a word fell to the ground. He was one of the greatest prophets that ever walked this earth. The second great man this book is about was King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. However, he lost the anointing upon his life because of arrogance and getting involved in witchcraft. And then we look at the last great man of this book of the Bible, King David, the greatest king Israel has ever had, because he was a man with a heart after God. However, the book of Samuel begins with a barren woman named Hannah, married to a godly, prosperous man. But within this society, within Israel at this time, the religious structure was very corrupt. Hophni and Phinehas were very, very wicked priests, and Eli was their father. They were the leaders of Israel in this time. And God dealt with them severely because of their wickedness. And theologians say that Eli was held accountable to God himself because he did not correct his grown children and call them into accountability. Mothers and fathers, do not compromise because your children start acting crazy and try to twist scripture that God didn't mean what he meant about that situation. We have a right as parents, as long as we have breath in our body, if the Holy Ghost tells us to correct, we have a right to correct, and we correct in love, and God will honor that correction, and you will see a turnaround. If Eli had only corrected his children, Israel's culture as a nation can be summed up in Judges, the 21st chapter and the 25th verse, that said, man did anything he thought was right in his heart. How dangerous that is. We must not do what we feel is right in our heart. We must do what thus says the Lord God Almighty. And godly mothers will pray the word over their children. Godly mothers will fast and put the plate away to God says eat again when they see their children enter in rebellion. Godly mothers will do what God called us to do on this earth. We birth them in the natural, and we can birth them in the supernatural as women of God. Even in the midst of this corruption, even in the midst of a very wicked time for Israel, God brought forth a powerful woman of great faith called Hannah. And I love that Hannah's name means favor and grace. A mother name that means favor and grace. Great women of God that are mothers here today, whether you feel it or not, you have God's grace upon your life. Whether you see evidence of it or not, God's favor is upon your life. Whether you see your prayers being answered as fast as you want them prayed, God says you have favor on your life, and nothing moves heaven like a mother's prayers. God hears you. He loves you. He sees the labor of you with small children, raising them in our society today. And you have favor on your life. As Pastor Tom spoke in that prayer that was so anointed over our lives, I've always loved that there was Jesus hanging on the cross, paying for the sins of all mankind. In his last earthly instruction on this earth was about his mama. And I've often thought about, because his brothers were not serving God then. He looked down from that cross in the most immense pain he could ever feel as he was dying a cruel, cruel death. And there at the cross, near the cross, theologians say within 5 feet of that cross, was Mary Magdalene, he whom he delivered from 7 demons. There was Mary, his mother. There were some close friends of Mary. And there was John the Beloved. And he said, John, behold your mother. There is a special place in the heart of Jesus Christ and the Father for mothers. I have a saying that I use all the time. Sometimes I use it for myself. Nothing moves heaven like a mother's prayers. You know, when you're looking out and you're concerned and you may be the only one up walking your floors, Mama, remind yourself, I am moving heaven because I'm a mama and Jesus cared about his mama and he cares about me and he hears those prayers. I see it all the time. Yes, I see it in the churches I preach in, but when a prison setting with some of the most broken women I've ever stood before, I believe those women come to Christ and surrender their lives to Christ because a mama took time to pray. I believe a grandmother called on God and said, please don't let my baby die before she meets you, God. And you can literally feel the rush of the Holy Spirit hit that service. And I believe the rush of God himself hits those prisons because of a mama and a grandmama's prayers that changes everything. I've had many women say to me behind bars, I know my grandmother would be proud of me today. I know my mama would be proud of me today because I have finally quit running from God and have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As 147 women in Georgia prisons just came to Christ with our recent visits, don't give up praying over your children. God favors great mothers to face great problems. Let me say that again. God favors great mothers to face great problems. I didn't know how to be a mother when I first came to Christ. And I would get up super early in the morning because when I got born again, Rebecca, who is our executive director for our ministry, was 8 months old. David was a little over 3 years old. And I didn't know how to mother. And you're probably thinking, how did you not know how to mother? Because of the trauma that I'd suffered as a little girl, I couldn't remember much about being mothered. I'm sure my biological mother did mother me, but when you've had severe trauma, it breaks a lot of that and shatters you at a level that only God can fix. And I would get up early in the morning and pray, and I have my green Bible that I do carry sometimes, and I'll never forget a preacher saw me bring it into church, and he said, did you drop that Bible in water? And I said, no, that Bible's been wept over for years. I didn't know how to mother, and I had to let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God teach me to mother. God favors great mothers with great problems. Hannah had a great problem. Hannah was infertile, and every Jewish couple dreamed of having a baby. She prayed there in verse 11 of 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And she prayed, if you will indeed look on your affliction of your maidservant, a great problem. There she was, unable to birth a child, and according to the Jewish rabbis during this time, if you had a woman that could not birth children in 10 years, you could divorce them. Being barren was a great problem that Hannah had. But Hannah knew who to take that problem to. That's why when sweet old Elkanah, I bet he was a sweet thing, and we read that he gave Hannah double portions. He wanted everybody to know, I love that woman. What a great man of God that says, I love this woman. I have Peninnah over here. And I call her Fertile Myrtle. She had so many children, it's like she was popping them out all the time. And there she was severely provoking Hannah. She reminds me of the accuser of the brethren that's always in a mama's face telling you everything that you've done wrong as a mother. Always telling you a lie that I battled when I first came into Christianity, and I would look out over the body of Christ and they just looked like perfect families and they had perfect children, and I knew it was because they had a perfect mama.
And the enemy would just fight you on that and fight you on that and make you feel so bad as a mother. Am I the only one that ever has had to battle that? You look and this child is doing amazing and that child's doing amazing. And you just been up all night long praying for your child. Can I get a witness here? The enemy will do that to us. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect mamas. There are no perfect children. We are imperfection, and only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we be made whole. It is not you being a perfect mama. It is you saying, God, anoint me for my child. It is you saying, show me their destiny. Show me the warfare around their life. Show me what generational curse has snuck in here to bother my child. And as a mama looking at great problems, if you got children and they acting like they were raised by anybody but you, I'm in the church. I'm sure none of y'all have been there, but this sister's been there. It is because they are such a threat against the kingdom of darkness. The enemy is trying to destroy them, but a mother's prayers will not allow that. If you sit near a woman, say, pray like you've never prayed. Look on the other side, say, pray like you have never prayed. The enemy attacks the family. And yes, Daddy, we know you are powerful. You're the head of the house. But this Sunday's it's about us. Can I get a witness? We love you. You got Father's Day coming up. But right now, it is about us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So Hannah prayed. She stood. She didn't let Peninnah make her unproductive. She went to Shiloh with her family. She may not have been eating because she was so disturbed, but she was still at church. Sometimes you come to church so broken, and you know when you leave church and you have heard from God and you have had a breakthrough and you have sat under the anointing and you can go forth believing for the best for your children. The Lord brought to my attention that it seems like women in the Bible that had a hard time birthing or were barren, they were great women of faith. Sarah, Abraham's wife, barren. And that sister had to wait so long, she was 90 years old. Can you imagine? And the Bible said Abraham's body was dead, so he needed a miracle too. 90 years old. And she had a baby. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was barren until God touched her womb. Rachel, Jacob's wife, barren until God touched her womb. And in fact, Rachel one time looked at Jacob and she said, if I can't have children, go ahead and kill me. I don't want to live anymore. It was not a simple thing to be barren. I'm sure Jacob said, hold up, honey. It's going to be all right. I know who I wrestled and touched my hip that I got a limp in my body. Then we have Ruth, who was infertile with her first husband, Mahlon. But then Mahlon went on and she married Boaz and was in the very lineage of David and Jesus himself. Why am I reminding you that women who had the toughest time birthing children were women that got their breakthrough, women that stood and believed in the power of God?
Because women, many times, it feels like that we may not getting what we're trying to spiritually birth. Many times we know God has called us to birth a ministry, birth a book, birth this kind of career, or birth this, and many times you can feel the enemy pushing you back left and right. I decree and declare to you, don't you back down, don't you give up, because God hears your prayers and you shall birth what God has sent you on this earth to birth. Many of you have been hit, you've been betrayed, you've been rejected, but I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, whether you're a mother or not, if you're a woman under the sound of my voice, God hears your prayers. He sees your pain. He'll heal your mind. He'll heal your body. He'll set you free, and you shall birth what he's put you here on this earth to birth. Hannah prayed fervently. She prayed so hard her voice went out. She was just moving her lips. And Eli, a corrupt priest, looked down at her and said, "Woman, quit drinking. Are you drunk?" You know he wasn't walking with God. That anointed woman going to birth the most powerful prophet as ever been at that time thought she was drunk. Let me say this, women of God. She could have got up in her emotions at that point, couldn't she? "I'm going to just leave this synagogue and find me another synagogue because that priest thought I was drunk and I was trying to reach God." Quit your offense at the church. You went beyond your breakthrough. Somebody looks funny at you or your pastor doesn't put you up fast enough. You better listen to God and obey God. It's going to be all right. God's going to give you your breakthrough. Come on now. Quit letting offense drive you away when what you're believing for is right there in the very second. I know that's good preaching, not even up in my notes today. I love that she knew that he wasn't reading her right. But when he said to her, after she said, "No, my soul is in despair, and I am praying to God," it hit him. This is a godly woman. And he said, "May God grant your petition." The priest at that point, he was a high priest. That priest spoke as if God was speaking to her. And when he said that to her, Hannah got up. She went from sad to glad. Hannah got up. Went and got all that double Ruth Chris that Elkanah had laid out for her that night. Hannah got up with a grin on her face and walked up out of church like she knew that she had her prayer answered that very moment. And I loved how Hannah prayed. She said, "Oh, Lord of hosts." I need you to get a grip on what she was saying. That means God, the master commander of heaven's army. Hannah knew who she was calling on. When you're calling out on God, you are calling to, "Oh, Lord of hosts, the commander of God's great armies." When you're asking God to surround your children in Psalm 91:11, "Oh, Lord of hosts," says, "Go protect that one. I've got a covenant with that one because mama is praying. I got a covenant with that one. Satan can't take their life out. I got a covenant with that one. They're about to get in a car wreck. Angels, take over that will. I got a covenant with that one. There's a call on their life. Mama knew there was a call." You must understand, great women of God, who you are praying to. You are praying to, "Oh, Lord of hosts, the commander of the armies of heaven. It is going to be all right because God's word has promised you." And some of you may say, "But I lost my child." I will tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, under the anointing of the living God, before they left this earth, they called out to the Lord of hosts. They called out to the commander that you gave them to. They called out to the name of Jesus. I love what Abraham Lincoln said, who loved his mama. He said, "Her prayers have clung to me all of my life."
what you have prayed over your children, and it's backed up in the Word of God. Words are powerful. Your prayers will cling to your children all the days of his life or her life. You will be amazed what you see God has done. You will be amazed that your prayers change things. Continue to call out for your children to walk in their destiny. Continue to call out for your children against every plot and plan of the enemy. Apply the blood of Christ. Let the Lord himself rebuke the enemy through your prayers. Continue to call out for ungodly friends to be broken away from your children, and continue to call out for them to be held and hid in Psalm 91. My final point. God favors his great mothers with great faith. I love verse 18. So Hannah went her way, as I said earlier, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Reminded me of Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Bible in the Classic Version. When you move in faith, even a little bitty mustard seed of faith, this is what you're moving in. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our senses. When Hannah had finished that prayer, and Eli said, "May God grant your petition," I say she got up, dusted off her robe, went back to where they were celebrating with Elkanah's family. She went up there and looked at Peninnah and all them youngins. She just kept popping out. She said, "Oh, I feel something happening on the inside of me." She went up to Peninnah and she said, "How you doing, sister?" She said, "I congratulate you on being such a birther." She said, "But baby, I got my breakthrough today. And let me go on and sit down here to my double portion that old Elkanah's giving me today." She said, "I got what I came for." See, when you're a woman of God, when you've had your breakthrough, when you've laid before God, when you've had a prophet like Pastor Tom say it's going to be all right and give you a prophetic word, you get yourself up off the floor. You dry your tears and you remember that you serve the Lord of hosts that heard your prayer. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to look like somebody hasn't heard your prayer. You don't have to act like a mama that's so sad you can't even move. You got to understand who you serve. Hannah went and had her some mashed potatoes, white gravy, biscuits, steak, ribeye, ate it all, honey. She said, "I'm eating for two now, whether you see it or not." We are mothers, and we'll fight for our children better than any mama bear ever and thought she'd come out of the woods. Because we fight in the spirit. We decree and declare over our children. We knew we did not birth them to go into the kingdom of darkness and stay there. I love how Hannah, when she had that baby boy, see, that woman had faith. People talking about, you can't be asking God in too much detail. You just better be happy. Hannah said, "No, I want a son. I want a male child." Yeah. And what did she have? She had a male child. You have not because you ask not. Yeah. Let me encourage you to ask and ask big.
Let me encourage you to have crazy faith. Let me encourage you to walk around with a smile on your face, because you know when it hits what God has given you, that's going to be a big celebration, and people will say, that had to be God. That had to be God. And when she had that baby boy, she named him Samuel, which means God has heard. God has heard. See, God hears your prayers. Favor and grace brought God had heard. Hannah is a beautiful example how great mothers have great faith. And I'm a Southern mother. And I was a helicopter mama at a level like a Black Hawk over my children. And sometimes they would tell you, if I gave them the mic, sometimes I drove them crazy because I was hover. But see, Hannah didn't have that problem. She was a woman of great faith. Most of my hovering was in fear. And I've had to repent to my children of too much hovering. They grown now, and I say all the time, you grown now, you got this thing. You got this thing. But it took a lot to get me to that level. I don't know, am I the only mother in the house that may not be a Hannah like that, that doesn't know how to release my children? Am I the only one? And we have some honesty in the house today that sometimes mamas don't know how to let go. But Hannah released Samuel unto God. She said to God, when I wean him, I will bring him back to the house of God. He will never have his hair cut. She did a Nazarite vow over him. He will not drink strong drink. And I will give him to you all the days of your life. Now, in Western America, we see Hannah with a baby stroller and a bunch of Infamil taking this baby to Eli the priest, saying, you feed him every hour and it's going to be all right. No. Get rid of the Western mindset. In the Bible, they did not wean children, and I double, triple checked this, till 5 to 7 years old. So still, she had to take a 7-year-old child and give him to Eli so that he would serve the Lord all of his life. She sent him with a little ephod. Can you imagine that? Little Samuel stepping up there in an ephod to be a priest. I bet Eli was like, what is going on? And she said, here I am. Remember that day? Because she did not go back to Jerusalem until she weaned Samuel. And Elkanah said, it's fine. I love old Elk. You know what I'm saying? He was the man. He knew how to feed a woman, and he knew how to listen to a woman. And when she said, I'm not going to go to worship this year, I got to be with Samuel. He said, baby, you go on and be with him. I know that child's got a special call. You pour into him all you need to pour into him. And most psychologists say from 1 to 7 is a training ground for children like no other time. But let me say this under the anointing. Those of you that missed it with your children, God is saying, I will redeem the time. I am a God that will bring back the time, because we all weren't born again when we had our children. We made some mistakes, and God never wants you to feel condemnation, because he's a God that can do phenomenal things for your life and redeem the time that you miss with your children and bring it all back and restore you with them and give you an amazing time to pour into their lives. And there Hannah took him to the temple, presented him to Eli the priest. And I bet even Eli got excited, because he remembered, there's the woman I said was drunk. And I realized she was a godly woman. And she said, here is the prayer I prayed that day, and I'm presenting Samuel to you. A 7-year-old child, Samuel, the prophet that was going to break into the corruption within the church Samuel, the prophet, that gave Eli the very word that said God would judge his life and his son for their wickedness. But yet Eli said, tell me the truth. He knew the anointing on Samuel. Because Samuel didn't want to share that. He was very respectful of Eli as the priest. And he said, it's all right. He said, no, share with me what God told you. I have to hear it. And Samuel gave a prophetic warning that he and his sons would die because of the wickedness they had been part of. This woman birthed a prophet that changed the nation of Israel. This woman birthed a prophet that, yes, he anointed Saul, but Samuel had heard from God, but Saul turned his back because of his arrogance. Saul was so humble when they went to anoint him as king. He was so humble, he was hiding because he didn't feel worthy to be the king of Israel, and Samuel had to find him. Samuel, the son of Kish, had to find him to anoint him the king, but yet the enemy came in through great arrogance and stole a man of God. Why am I saying that? Everybody battles with pride. And you better repent of all pride. You better repent of all arrogance and do what we heard come across this pulpit, this worship this morning. I surrender to you. All I have is you. All I'll ever do is through you. Anything good within me is through you. Anything I do that deserves praise is praise only to you. I surrender my life to you. Even when I mess up, I get on my knees as David did in Psalm 50. 51:10, and he said, create in me a clean heart again, God. He had killed a man. He had committed adultery. He had messed up, but the man fell on his face. He was not prideful. Samuel anointed David, the king of Israel. What a great prophet. Do you see the fight over his very life and over his mother? We want our prayers answered now, now, now. And God is saying delay does not mean denied. Your prayers are for an appointed time. Don't stop until you get the breakthrough. Give your children to God. Don't wear yourself out or beat yourself up. God is bigger than any mistake you ever made. He is bigger. You may say, but you don't know the mistake I've made. I was the death row pastor in North Carolina and saw women come to Christ that did horrific things, and it was a sincere conversion. Paul in the New Testament would kill Christians and drag out women and men to take before the authorities. But when God touched his life, he surrendered to God. Hannah understood when she gives Samuel to God that he's in the best place he could ever be. I remember one night as I was praying over my children late, and I was up watching Heidi Baker, and I was just in my den alone. And the Holy Spirit said, I love your children more than you will ever love them. Give them to me. It was a life change for me. What a beautiful example. If you will stand to your feet, please. I decree and I declare over all mothers today that you are a mother of great faith. I remind you that praying mothers can shake the heavens. Even in a corrupt, materialistic, wicked society that we have seen ourselves in, but are believing a great shift is happening in the United States of America. I can adamantly say that my God can change any heart and take any child, whether adult or a child, and change them for the glory of God. I see this all the time in women's prisons with the highest level of crimes. I've seen high-level gang members come to Christ. I've led the Queen of the Crips to Jesus Christ within a prison setting. I have seen witches surrender to Jesus Christ and Satan worshipers get on their knees and serve Jesus Christ. I've seen women who have been sex trafficked by their own mother, so wounded that only God could break through those walls, come to Christ and become great leaders and Bible study teachers behind prison walls. I believe who can change the United States of America but a praying mother that will call out to the Lord of hosts to believe that he is the master commander of heaven's army, the great I am, the name above all names. I believe that this nation will be changed by a mother that will stand for her children, a mother that will stand for her family, a mother that will pray for her husband to stand as the head of her house. God uses mothers in ways that we will not know the magnitude until we stand in heaven itself and see the sea of children that came to Christ because of a Hannah that believed the favor of God was upon her. All mothers, put your hands up and surrender both hands. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the children represented by the hands raised right now shall turn if they are not walking with God and serve Jesus Christ all the days of their lives. I ask the Lord to rebuke every generational curse, every witchcraft spirit, every satanic plot and plan of the enemy off of any child that is not serving God. I ask for children that have been offended through the church to not be moved by that anymore, but realize offenses of the enemy and move back in the lane they were called to be in. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ for every child represented here to truly walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you, Lord, for Hebrews 1:14. I charge angels around every child represented today to come back into the kingdom of God and serve the great I am in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak blessings over these women right now. I speak strength. I speak peace to their minds. I speak healing to the disappointment, the betrayals. And single women, I have not forgotten you, and neither has God. You are the head of your house. You have great power and authority. Don't you ever believe you need a man to do what God has called you to do with your children. I thank you, God, for the Deborahs in this house that are warriors to rise up and do what God has called you to do. I speak a blessing upon every woman in the name of Jesus Christ. If we can have your hands down now, say, I believe and receive.
I believe and receive.
In the name of Jesus. I speak an anointing on wombs to open up that you and your husband have been believing for you to become fertile and to birth children. I speak an anointing upon women to understand that you may have the perfect baby waiting out there for you to adopt. And I speak peace. And right now, as an evangelist, with every eye closed, every head bowed, with Pastor to come up here with me and First Lady Jenny, Pastor Jenny to come up here, we are going to be the only eyes open at this point. Every eye closed. If you are here today and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you will always remember this Mother's Day in 2025. I speak in the name of Jesus, those that have backslid and know that you are not walking with God as you need to be walking. I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ. I remind everyone that doesn't know Jesus fully as their Lord and Savior that if you died tonight, you would know without a doubt that you would step into heaven. I say to you, Jesus loves you. He is not mad at you. Man may give up on you, but God never will give up on you. As long as you have breath in your body, there is hope. So right now, I ask anyone in this place with no one looking around, we will be your witness. If you don't know Jesus for sure, I need you to just put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now. As an evangelist, I will never stand in a church or a prison and not offer the gospel. Is there anyone here that you do not know for sure that you are serving Jesus Christ? Your mother's prayers may be touching you to surrender. You see one?
Yeah. No, live stream.
Yes, on live stream. Yeah. If you are not for sure that you are serving Jesus Christ, right now is your moment. Where you can surrender your life to Jesus Christ and step in a destiny with God and see Him do miraculous things. So right now we may have people on live stream. So you can open your eyes and everyone say this prayer with me.
Yes.
Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you humbly.
I come to you humbly.
I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins.
I ask you to be my Savior
and be my Lord. Guide and direct me. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I give Him praise. I believe someone was born again. Come on, come on, come on. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.